All righty. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. No, you're not seeing things. I'm Councilmember David Luna covering for Mayor Giles, who's out. Welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for study session for January 19th. I'm sitting in for Mayor Giles, who is out of town. And I want to welcome our new council members, Whitaker, Freeman, and Winkle. I almost pulled a Giles moment, but I didn't. Yeah, I think it's the chair. But I do have a script in front of me, so thank you very much. Again, we want to excuse Mayor Giles and Councilmember Thompson from the meeting. So what we want to do is first review our agenda for Monday, January 23rd. So if you wouldn't mind going to the agenda. So the first part is awards, recognitions, and announcements. Then we have items on the consent agenda. Feel free to ask any questions if you have any questions. We want to take action on the following liquor license application, which is item number 4. Number 5, we want to take action on the following contracts, and typically they're purchasing contracts. Let me know if you have any questions on those. 5A, 5B, 5C, 5D. 5E, 5F, 5G. No questions? Okay. 5H, 5I. Okay. So under item number 6, take action on the following resolutions. We have 6A. Now we're going to item number 7, introduction of the following ordinances. And it looks like we're pulling 7B. Is that correct, Mr. Brady? We're going to pull that off. Any questions on those? Okay, and then we have items not on the consent agenda. All righty, let's go back to our study session agenda. And the first item is we're going to have a presentation from Mr. Hirschberg from the Park and Recreation Bond Program. He's going to discuss some updates. Thank you, Mr. Hirschberg, for being here.
Good morning, council members. Mark Hirschberg, Director of Parks, Recreation, and Community Facilities. With item 5I on the agenda, the Kleinman Park CMAR, we thought it would be good to provide you an update on all the projects related to the 2012 Parks and Recreation Bond Program that we're initiating or completing in 2017, which will wrap up a majority of the projects. First one again is Kleinman Park. This is a $1.3 million project, estimated construction from March through September of this year. We will add 3 new tennis courts, 4 new pickleball courts. We'll renovate half the playground, which we receive CDBG funding for that. So half, that's a large playground space, so half of that will be addressed and we'll add shade there. We continue to look for additional funding to address the rest of the playground there as well. We'll do some significant ADA upgrades to parking lots, restrooms. We'll do some renovations to the existing ball fields. And where that existing wheels court is a little depleted and out of shape. So we're just going to remove that and expand the turf area and add some trees and provide more play space for the public. Pioneer Park renovation is one I know we've been talking about for a while and a lot of people are excited about. One of the things is that we hear a lot when we go out to the community is, when can we do a Riverview Part 2 in another location with the exciting play features and the height and that type of stuff? So we thought Pioneer would be a great location to do that. And one of the challenges we have with Pioneer is the depth of that park right along Main and how deep that park goes back. So trying to create some visuals, and it's again, our focus was really to address activating the north end of the park and generating play spaces in that area. So we anticipate starting that in May, hope to be wrapped up by the end of the year to coincide with next year's Marion Main Street. Again, the major elements there are a new splash pad, a tremendous playground, which I'll show you some additional drawings here, an elevated walkway, which you can kind of see in this image here, new basketball courts, a revamped train plaza, updates to the Grotto Monument, new restroom building, updating that and making that ADA accessible and adding some new finishes to that, updating the site furniture throughout the park, and then improving the lighting throughout the park as well. Again, I talked about that play feature and trying to create some height and experience. You know, one of the things that Pioneer is great about is the historical trees there and those large trees. So we want to provide people the opportunity to interact with the trees and get up to that height. So we're looking at play structures up to about 35 feet high. One-of-a-kind custom pieces with slides and ropes and everything else coming off of it. The rope play has been extremely popular both out at Eastmark and at Riverview, so we're going to add some of that. And then you can see the twisty slides and some of that other features there. We also plan on taking advantage of that elevated walkway to provide some of that height and that sensation of getting it within the trees experience, but it also provides us an opportunity to mount some other play features underneath it to make that entire play experience shaded as well. Here you can see images of the splash pad. One of the things...
Excuse me, Mark. We have a question from Mr. Freeman.
Yes, Councilman.
Mark, hi. What's going to happen with the train? I saw that listed in the scenario here. So, yeah. You know, as a little kid, I used to play on the train. So that's a neat thing. So what are we going to do with that? I see it listed.
Yeah, Councilmember Luna, Councilmember Freeman. You can see an image here of the train. We're working with the Save the Train Committee to restore that train in place and provide access. You can see a set of ladders going up there so people can get into the cab. We're trying to create that experience. We're trying to create different viewing angles for it. So we're adding... really trying to open that space up to provide better viewing of the train. Just with the way ADA and safety is gone, it can never be a play feature again, but trying to allow people access to it so we can take that fence down, get people close to it again, make sure it's safe and secure, and really create and tell the story about the train with some interactive signage and those type of elements. And again, get people close to it through different viewing platforms and at least into the cab to access it.
Is the Save the Train Club, they helping you with that? I mean, given their ideas, working with them?
They absolutely, and they have been involved in the process from the beginning, and then we're actually leaning on them. They will manage the restoration of the train.
Okay, thanks.
Again, the splash pad that is the other images you can see here. That'll be a shaded feature with some unique elements without water just coming up through different fountains and stuff, but also a water wall coming down from that structure as well, which will provide us the opportunity to add some different imagery within the water, some different colors and some different aspects there. Eagles Park and Community Center, this is the former Mesa Junior High location. This is a $7.3 million project, and we are sending phase one of the community center, which is the old gym building and locker room building, repurposing that into a 27,000 square foot community center. Those documents are going out to bid within either today or early next week, and we'll get moving on that and hopefully have that open to the public in August. Phase two will be the rest of the park area through there, which will include four full-size lighted multi-use fields, new playground, walking paths with exercise equipment within it for the community. Parking, a large Ramada, and youth and adult fitness equipment, as I mentioned. One of the neat aspects of this project is that it also will serve as stormwater retention for the community to address some much-needed flooding and store some of that water that this neighborhood gets hit pretty hard off of Solomon. So that'll provide relief for that neighborhood as well in that area. An image of the community center that we will restore, the gymnasium, take most of those lockers out and turn those into multi-use rooms so we have indoor programming space, which will be a tremendous asset to our department, which is as we sorely lack the indoor programming space to serve the community. Greenfield Park renovation is currently underway, and in a meeting with Councilmember Whitaker, he confirmed that the hole is big for the lake that will be expanded to provide an urban fishing program, which is a partnership with Arizona Game and Fish. Again, we hope to have this project wrapped up by September 2017, which will also include a new restroom building, which is required to when we make it an urban fishing pond. Walking paths, exercise stations, which are already there, we're going to replace those and update those, but very popular with that neighborhood, shaded playground space, and an expanded parking lot. This is an example of the equipment, the exercise equipment that will be at this location and also at Eagles And again, we've seen that in some of the other parks along Mesa Drive that we've done in other areas, and again, very popular, and an example of the shaded play features that will be at Greenfield as well. Signal Butte and Elliott Park is a $1.4 million project that we've initiated the design. This is a large space that will have to come in over multiple phases. This first phase will provide a parking lot and trail system between Fire Station 214 and the expanded water treatment facility that is currently under construction. And we're timing that construction to coincide with the treatment plant. So we hope to have this completed by spring of 2018, again, to coincide with that ongoing construction there. The pathway projects, Rio Salado pathway is under construction now and will be complete by the end of March 2017. And again, this is two different phases that we use some parks bond dollars and also some federal grant dollars to provide a total budget of $4.2 million. To the east, the trail will connect to the stadium connector path, which I'll move on to next, and to the west, it will connect to the Tempe trail system underneath the 202. And again, some imagery of how that'll connect, and will also tie into the existing parking lot at Riverview to serve as the trailhead there. Stadium connector pathway is a $5.6 million project. Again, construction underway. A lot on Country Club right now, with completion estimated for September 17. This will connects the pathway at Center Street at Ho'okam Stadium to the Rio Salado pathway and the 202 that we just mentioned. Provides shared use paths along the Tempe Crosscut Canal and the Tempe Drain, and then cycle tracks, which are the separated bike lanes along Alma School, Dayton Brown, and Country Club, which is under construction now, as I mentioned, and then bicycle sharrows, which are the shared roadways that we have in several areas throughout the city, and that will be along 10th Street between Dayton and Alma School. And finally, the Southeast Mesa pathway, completion plan for November 2017. Those will be going out to bid shortly. This is a two-phase project, depending on how those bids come in. But phase one will be the pathway construction from baseline to Guadalupe along the 202, and eventually to from Guadalupe to Elliott, and eventually tie into that WAPA path that's existing there now. With that, I'd be happy to answer any other questions you may have regarding those projects or any others.
Any questions from my colleagues here? Mr. Whitaker?
When will the Greenfield Park, what's the estimated completion date? Is it still on track for November 2017?
Councilmember Luna, Councilmember Whitaker, we are planned on schedule and hope to have that complete September 2017. One thing that's always a little tricky is with our projects is it depends on when we can get the grass to grow and how quickly that grass growing occurs over the summer. So if everything goes good and we keep some of this moisture, that's slowing us down a little bit, honestly, with that trying to shore up the lake edges with the rain has slowed us down a little bit. But we believe we'll make that up and be on track for September, end of September, October 2017.
Councilmember Freeman.
Thank you, Mark. I never heard anybody complain about the rain. I mean, we need rain in Arizona. But my question is, I really appreciate these robust plans in the parks and the renovations. A lot of open space, a lot of great activities for families and people. I was wondering, how are we going to manage maybe the loitering people there? That I know we have our park rangers and things. Do you find that perhaps you need additional staff to manage park ranger, because the parks are so deep with lots of playground equipment and things going on? So I don't know how you want to answer that. So that's just a concern that's been brought up with, you know, residents and constituents through the years.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Councilmember Luna, Councilmember Freeman. One of the things, we have a small ranger staff. We're five that are covering the full 205 plus parks and basins throughout the city. One of the things we continue to work with the city manager's office is looking at opportunities to add additional ranger staff anytime we can. And we've converted some administrative positions back into field positions to add additional ranger staff when possible as well. PD is a tremendous partner, and we have our rangers are on the same channels and communication system as the police department, so they provide us tremendous support and access and assistance when necessary. But one of the things we really hope is that by adding some of these elements and these features into the park system, that we create so much, we create that positive activity, and so people want to be there, and so that the people that are loitering don't typically want to be around when there's a lot of activity happening. And we've had, Riverview is a great example. We had a lot of issues at Riverview prior to us doing the reconstruction there, homelessness, gangs, drugs, all that occurred at the old Riverview Park. Once we've replaced that, our biggest challenge is getting the good people out when the park closes. And, because people want to be there. And they're out there walking, they're out there fishing, they're out there on the play equipment. Mm-hmm. I still can't think of a time in 4 years when I've driven by that park now that somebody's not on that rope tower, at no matter what time of the day it is or early mornings. Mm-hmm. And by creating those unique play experiences, adding those unique elements, we hope it brings out more activity so that some of that takes care of itself. Obviously, the biggest thing with any park system in any part of the country is community policing and the community having a sense of ownership in the park system and working with us and with PD to notify us when there's issues and concerns so that we can tackle those together. And hopefully they're communicating that with you. And if you hear things, we'd obviously like to continue to work with you and your residents to make sure we're providing the safest environment possible. But yes, we do continue to look for additional staffing to provide more park rangers, because they also provide not just an enforcement aspect, but an educational resource as well within the park system.
What are the hours of the park rangers?
We've been able to add two additional rangers within the last 2 years, Councilmember Freeman, and that's given us additional flexibility. So we have one ranger that's on throughout the daytime hours. So they come in about 7 in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, go till mid-afternoon, and then the evening rangers come on from 2 to 2 in the morning.
So which parks your more higher calls of service as for park rangers? Do you have more certain group of parks that are more difficult to manage now, and then hoping to, with your explanation of the improvements, I guess right now my question is, which parks are more difficult to manage?
Councilmember Loon, Councilmember Freeman, the downtown parks are the hard ones. Light rail has presented new challenges with at Pioneer Park in particular. I don't expect those with the extension of light rail. I don't expect those challenges to go away. I expect those to continue just a little bit further down the road as we add some additional basins and space in there. But it's also a seasonality thing. A lot of the calls that we deal with are off-leash dogs and that type of stuff, and that's really where the education piece, when we have winter visitors, explaining the dogs need to be on the leash, so there's a lot of that enforcement as well. We spend a lot of time at Riverview, a lot of time at Pioneer, and Riverview, it's honestly just because it's so popular, policing the manors, really, and trying to get people to work together and understand when a Ramada's reserved, and so arguments, and don't turn into something beyond that. I could have a ranger on the weekends this time of the year full time at Riverview.
The reason I asked the question is just ideas that I'm formulating, maybe that can support you and your staff and your goals with these parks. So that's one of the reasons I'm asking.
Thank you, Councilmember. Yeah, I'd love to sit down and discuss that further with you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from my colleagues? Mr. Whitaker.
One last question on the Pioneer Park upgrades. It seems like those slides are really tall. What's the added liability to the city in regards to lawsuits or anything like that? Or can you just comment on?
Councilmember Luna, Councilmember Whitaker, you want me to tackle that, or you want to tackle that, Mr. Smith?
You know, that's always a concern. And I think when the changes happened at Riverview, there was concerns about it, and they haven't materialized. Yeah. And so sometimes you take some of these steps and you see how it happens. But there were concerns about the Riverview, and they haven't materialized into claims and lawsuits. And so,
but Mark, maybe let's just assure everyone, all the equipment you buy has to pass some pretty rigorous standards as far as this playground equipment that's allowed to be put in public spaces. So there's some quite a bit of vetting from the vendors and the type of the products that we purchase.
Correct. And that's where I was just going to go next. All of the equipment means ASTM standards, the American Society of Testing and Measurement. We have we meet all the height requirements, fall surface. We have fall zones that we need to do. We meet the surface requirements on terms of depth and material. It is a pretty strenuous process because it also puts playground manufacturers at risk too. And they understand that. So yes, everything is reviewed and tested. Our staff, we also have several members of our staff that are certified playground safety inspectors. So whenever we do a unique playground experience like this, Councilmember Whitaker, not only is the installer testing it and certifying it, then our staff comes in and certifies it and tests it. And then before we accept that response, they make those repairs, or if there's any corrections, then we bring in a third party typically to do a separate investigation to make sure, an inspection to make sure that everything's in line with the ASTM standards.
All righty, any other questions? Thank you, Mark. You've done a tremendous job with the parks. And certainly in District 5, our parks are very, very popular. We have a different problem. People just want to get in real early in the morning, so which is a good problem. And we know that many of our residents take advantage of our wonderful parks. In fact, we have our parks are award-winning. So, and I thank you for all your efforts and what you do for our community. So it's truly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you, council members.
The next item on the agenda is information regarding job order contracting projects. Any questions from colleagues? Okay. Item number 4, acknowledge receipt of minutes from various boards and committees.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Impose? All right. The motion carries. Item number 5, hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. I'd like to thank Natalie and city staff for a wonderful swearing-in ceremony that we just had the other day. And It was a wonderful, wonderful program, and she did a real wonderful job, as well as our city staff. So thank you. Any comments from our new council members on the swearing-in ceremony? Here's an opportunity to...
Yeah, I'll make one.
Yeah, go for it.
You know, I was really humbled with that opportunity. I've sat out in the audience for many years and worked with city staff, and to be on this side of the table, it was just a very humbling experience for my family, and everybody just... thoroughly appreciated that, and I appreciate all the work everybody went and did. It was great. Mm-hmm. What can I say? I mean, I almost got up and said we trumped it, but I didn't do that.
Probably a good idea.
But we just had a wonderful opportunity to be able to, and I feel like we're working with you and as your servants, and even though we're elected community members, but we're working together.
Excellent. Yes, Mr. Winkle.
I felt that the focus on diversity and the diverse things that are happening in Mesa was an excellent addition to this. And so a lot of people that had never been to Mesa before, and this is their first experience, were extremely impressed at the city and what we have going on here. So thanks again, Natalie. That was awesome. And staff. Mm-hmm.
Here's your opportunity.
It was a great experience. Yeah, did a good job. I don't really have much to add to it.
Well, we want to thank city staff. They did an amazing job. So it was a beautiful ceremony, and certainly enjoyed watching you being in front on stage and going getting sworn in. So thank you so much. Last night I had a Falcon Field check-in meeting. I want to thank Corrine Nystrom. I don't think she's here this morning, and Natalie. We had a good turnout, and also Lori Gray from Economic Development did an outstanding job talking about the Falcon Field Tech Center. So that was outstanding, and we're very excited what's happening in District 5, particularly in the Falcon Field area. All righty, Mr. Brady, scheduling meetings and general information.
Thanks, Councilmember Luna. Just a reminder, our council meeting will be Monday, January 23rd, beginning at 5:45 p.m. I think we will start the study session, though, at 5:15. So we'll be here at 5:15 for the study session before the council meeting. Also a reminder that a week from Saturday is the Mesa's annual historic home tour. Again, Saturday, January 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can go on to mesamuseum.org for more information. Thank you. Great.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Perry, do we have a council photo coming up?
Yes, we have one at 3:45 on Monday. So
there you go.
Get here early.
Okay,
good. So is it, and you're upstairs?
It's upstairs in the council chambers.
Okay. Ties or no?
Ties.
Whatever you want to be known as for the generations to come.
Alrighty, I think that concludes our meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
For a second.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned. To that.